Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us today on Tripping Over the Saints. I am here with my new friend, Carolyn, and I have to tell you guys, just in the few minutes that we've been speaking, I already feel very peaceful and relaxed and overjoyed just to share her with you and for her to share her story with everyone. Carolyn, I'm going to let you take it away. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thank you, Kate. I'm glad to be here. As I said to you earlier, I am a little nervous, but I feel the call to share my story. So going way back, I'm from a large Catholic family, Irish Catholic family. I'm one of nine children. The Lord has blessed our family. My parents are still living. They're both 90 years old. And if you count my siblings and their children and the children's children, we're numbering at about 80 now, averaging 4 to 5 new births a year.
I love it.
So we have been quite blessed. I have one daughter, Emma, and one granddaughter. She's married and she lives nearby. My husband and I live in Ocean City, Maryland, which is on the eastern shore of Maryland, if you know anything about Maryland. My husband has a daughter, too, who lives nearby. So we ourselves are a small family, but there are lots of the Courtneys, which is what my maiden name is, all around the country.
Oh, wow.
Yes. I guess I'm a writer now. And before this, though, I had careers in international business and interior design, two totally different areas in and of themselves. But when I left my last job as an interior designer, I decided to jump into writing, which is something I had wanted to do for a very long time. And so in 2018, I started writing my first fictional novel. And I now have three self-published mystery and suspense novels, decidedly not Catholic or Christian. Works, sadly. But they're available for sale on Amazon as paperbacks and as ebooks. And so I've got three of them, and the last two are part of a series. And as I started writing the third in the series, it's called the Deceptive series, I lost my inspiration, and I struggled to find the plot, work on the characters. I just kept struggling and struggling and struggling, and so I would set it aside, and I would think about it. And I realized that the reason I was struggling is because God was calling me to do something different with my writing talent.
Yep.
He blessed me with the writing talent, and I kept it in my back pocket for over 30 years, not doing anything with it. And it was time, he said, that I did it for him, that I started writing for his glory and for his purpose. And of course, I wasn't quite sure what to do with that. So again, I pulled out the manuscript from my novel and I tried to write it some more. And about 6 months later, I got nowhere with it. And about that time is when I came across Claire Dwyer and Praise Writers, the Praise Writers group.
Yes.
So before I could chicken out, I contacted Claire and we set up a Zoom meeting for after the first of the year. And that was just this past January that we met. And after talking to her for less than an hour, I realized I'm called to write for God's purpose and glory. And so that's what I'm doing now. So I've kind of taken a very circuitous route to writing to begin with and to writing for God's glory and purpose, which is what I'm trying to do now.
That's amazing. I'm so glad that you found Praise Writers, and I'm so glad you found Claire. She has a beautiful gift of just speaking truth and speaking life into people and just really helping people remember to just cooperate with the Holy Spirit, and that you never know what faucet is going to just turn on and overflow when you start cooperating. It just, oh, I hear it again and again. It's so exciting.
It is exciting. And I mean, just within the last 3 months, I have started my writing business, which I call His Resurrection Fern. I've started an Instagram page for that. I have my website. I am talking with you, Tripping Over the Saints, to tell my story about my saint. And I've got an article that's ready for publication this summer on the National Catholic Register.
I will be looking for that. I cannot wait. That's a big deal. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I love how so many times when I see people step out into this journey, the consolations, not always, but so many times, just come alongside them. And it's like the Lord is like, yes, I'm going to visibly show you through friendships, through encouragement, through different opportunities that this is my plan for you. And oh, I love that.
Well, he's showing me, that's for sure. Yeah, there's no going back to that novel that is the unfinished novel just yet. And I may go back to it at some point, you know, take a look at it, rewrite it, make it Catholic.
Yes.
I'll figure out a way.
Oh, that's exciting.
I'll figure out a way to do that, to transition my characters. My main character is Catholic because I am Catholic. And so she is Catholic. She just was not a practicing Catholic. And so I can make her.
That's exciting. That's really exciting. You'll have to come back when you someday, when that all resolves, and tell us what happened. That's exciting.
I will. I will. I'll take you up on that.
Oh my goodness. Well, I can't wait to hear about your saint. I've taken a sneak peek, and this is actually one of my absolute favorite saints. So,
okay, is he? Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Well, he's a blessed right now. Blessed Solanus Casey. He is on his way to sainthood. At the moment, they're waiting for one final miracle, one last miracle to be verified. And then he will be named a saint. And my story, I never heard of him until the night of October 22nd, 2020, which was not quite 4 years ago. Well, I'm sorry, 2020, yeah. Not quite 4 years ago. But I had returned to the Catholic Church earlier that summer. And it was in the height of COVID. And I was very lost, as a lot of people were during COVID. And so I returned to the church, and I, after having left it for 40 years, when I was in college, I went to Catholic school, Catholic high school. And then when I went away to college, I left the church, sadly. Mm. And I stayed away for 40 years. But I first felt the calling to come home to the church in the winter of 2019-2020, and then COVID hit. Mm-hmm. And I thought, now's the time. But then the churches were closed, and so I had to wait even longer than I had hoped for. But anyway, so I went back to the church in 2020, was welcomed back with arms wide open. At the parish we were living in Southport, North Carolina. So this was in Southport, North Carolina at the time. And so I was determined to learn all that I had forgotten about the Catholic Church and to make up for lost time. Mm. And so I was reading everything I could get my hands on about the saints, the church, and so forth. And I had purchased this book about the saints, and it is I'm gonna give you the title of it. Hang on one second here. I apologize. Nothing Short of a Miracle: God's Healing Power in Modern Saints by Patricia Treese is her name.
Okay.
And one of the saints that she covers in two chapters is Blessed Solanus Casey, whom I had never heard of before. And I just loved reading the stories of the miracles. And so as I'm reading, I'm sitting next to my husband one evening, and I'm reading while he's watching TV. And I read the story of this man who came to see him. Blessed Silanus Casey was the porter at the monastery, basically. That's not the right word. What am I thinking of? The friary, the home of the priest.
Yes. Parsonage, that's not right either.
In any event.
it'll come
in any event. He was the greeter at the door. And so one night this man came to talk to him. Blessed Silanus Casey was well known as being a very personable priest. And he greeted people and made them feel at home and talked to them. And he was a simplex priest, though, and he wasn't allowed to hear confessions or give absolution. But what he would do is he would listen to these people and talk to them about their issues, their problems, their concerns, their challenges. And then he would send them to one of the full-fledged priests, if you will, to receive, to say their confession and to receive absolution. So one evening, this gentleman by the name of Luke Leonard came to see Blessed Silanus Casey. And he was a self-professed alcoholic bum. He was out of control, an out of control drunk. He had been a businessman. I believe he was a real estate broker, quite successful, but he had lost everything with his drinking and he couldn't stop drinking. And at one point before he came to see Silanus, he had tried to go cold turkey and the withdrawal effects were nearly killing him and he didn't know what to do. He needed a drink so bad because he was dying from withdrawal, but he knew he couldn't drink anymore because it was ruining his life. It had ruined his life. Right. And Silanus let him finish talking, and then he asked him, "So, Luke, when did you get over your sickness?" And Luke's like, "Father, you don't understand. I'm not sick. I'm a drunk." And Blessed Silanus asked him again, "No, Luke, when did you get over your sickness?" And they went on to talk, and by the time Luke Leonard left that evening, he was completely sober. The alcoholic withdrawal symptoms had stopped, and he never took another drink. So as I'm reading this story, sitting next to my husband, who was watching TV, my heart started beating so fast. I was getting chills up and down my body. And I was almost hyperventilating. And I said to myself, what if? What if it was going to be that easy for me? What if, because Blessed Silanus Casey was able to heal this Luke Leonard back in the 1940s, what if he could heal me? And Kate, no sooner did I think that, did I hear the voice, truly did I hear a voice say, "Carolyn, when did you get over your sickness?" By this point, I'm sitting up on my feet with, you know, my knees bent, my feet underneath me, and I'm basically bouncing. And the fact that my husband sitting next to me didn't realize this, which is okay, because I don't know if I would have been able to explain it to him anyway, what was happening. But when I heard that voice ask me, "Carolyn, when did you get over your sickness?" I whispered, "Tonight." And I would. I tell you what, Kate, I read that and reread it and reread it and got more and more excited and excited is not even the right word, because I almost knew at that point that I was, that I was healed, that I wasn't going to drink anymore. And I haven't even talked about my drinking at this point. So your listeners are probably wondering, well, I didn't know you had a drinking problem, but I did. And that was one of the main reasons why I had stayed away from the Catholic Church for so long, was that I was drinking uncontrollably.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like I was a fall down drunk. I wasn't the drunken bum that Luke Leonard was. I was a functioning alcoholic, if you will. But every night I needed to drink a bottle of wine, at least a bottle of wine. And if I drank less than a bottle of wine, I felt like, you know, I was actually sober, but I, you know, and it had started when I was in college, and it just simply progressed and progressed and progressed and progressed. And I had tried repeatedly different programs, if you will, to stop, online programs for the most part. I never did go to Alcoholics Anonymous, but there are some online groups now, specifically catering to women who, because the wine culture with women is just off the chart. Absolutely. I mean, you're expected to. It's almost.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, mothers.
Hugs and the, yes. All the jokes and the memes that you see.
Oh,
that,
yes. Mommy juice, the whole thing.
Absolutely.
And I live that. I mean, And so, I mean, in any event, I had tried repeatedly, and I could go 30 days. I could do the 30-day challenges. And I would say, okay, I'm going to moderate now that I've done 30 whole days without drinking anything. I can certainly moderate and just have that one glass of wine and set it down. But within a matter of days, I was back to drinking an entire bottle, and it was every night. Mm. And by the time I returned to the church, I had been able to pare back, to the point where I could drink maybe just one or two nights a week, but it was never just one glass. If I didn't finish the bottle, it wasn't even worth opening. And of course, it was always worth opening, so I always finished the bottle. And I knew that getting drunk was a sin, and so I repeatedly went back to confession, and I would, you know, confess to the priest. Oh my gosh, I got drunk 5 times, and then, you know, he would give me absolution, and I would start all over again. And I couldn't stop. I wanted to stop so bad, but it was out of my hands. I couldn't do it on my own. Yeah. Sheer willpower was not doing it for me.
Yeah.
So the fact that while I'm reading this story and I hear the voice asking me, and then I knew I was done. And I think I was awake for the next 24 hours journaling. I think I slept off and on maybe an hour or two, read everything I could on Solanus Casey, trying to learn as much about him as I could. But I that was almost 4 years ago, or 3.5 years ago at this point. And I haven't had another drink since. And the beautiful thing, the most beautiful thing, is that it doesn't even occur to me to have one. I never felt the urge, never felt a craving, never missed out on anything, never had to talk myself down. It's been wonderful. And I had never even heard of Solanus Casey before that. And yet he heard me. And, you know, as he did so often when he was alive, he met me, listened to me, and healed me.
He greeted you at the door.
Yeah, he would exactly
feel welcome. How amazing is that?
He would never take credit for it, as you and I touched on before. I think we started recording. He would never say it was anything he did. You know, it was always what God did, or because we were doing something that God was asking us to do, and he had nothing to do with it. But I know he did. I mean, God worked through him, or God listened to him. He interceded for me while he was up in heaven. And it was, I've been blessed. I have been blessed with a favor. Yeah. It's not a miracle, according to, the vice postulator, the cause for canonization for Blessed Solanus Casey. His name is Father Ed Foley, and he has heard my story. It took me a whole year to tell anybody the story.
Wow.
Because I, even though I knew I was healed, completely sober, I didn't expect anybody else to believe me. Yeah. And so I waited almost an entire year. Actually, I waited over a year before I started telling people.
Yeah.
And I wrote to the cause for canonization and told my story. And they got back to me within hours. And
wow.
Thanked me for letting them know that they would pass my story on to Rome, which was wonderful, but that it could not be considered a true miracle because there was no medical proof that I had, in fact, been, you know, a full-fledged alcoholic.
Okay.
And that it was there was no medical explanation or no, yeah. I'm saying that the right way, yeah. That there was no explanation for, it could have been something else that helped me be sober.
Wow.
But I know what happened that night. Blessed Solanus knows, God knows. And I want other people to know.
Absolutely.
I want other people to realize the miracle and that miracles are out there. We have to believe. We have to trust.
We do. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us, sharing, being vulnerable with us, because I think, you know, there is a beautiful movement even in the secular world right now to really listen and believe people when they tell you something has happened. And I think, goodness, if they could only do that with the miracles that happen every day, with the miracles that God rains down on us, with the sunrise, right? Like just looking around and noticing his goodness, that this world would change one person at a time, because when we step forward in vulnerability and we share those hidden parts of ourselves for his glory and for the sake of others, beautiful things can happen. So first, I just want to thank you for being vulnerable and sharing that part of yourself with us. That's very brave, and thank you. And what a gift. You're right. Blessed Solanus Casey would be the first to tell us that he doesn't get the credit. He was an intercessor and friend to you. But with that said, what a joy to have so many best friends just waiting for us. So many best friends just wanting more than anything for us to know how fully we can be healed and redeemed and restored and standing in his truth. Ah, you know, what an amazing community we have that we can't even see.
That we can't even see.
Yeah.
They're there. They're here.
They're here. And we're never alone.
No, we're not. And they're at the ready. They want to help us. They want us to experience what they are experiencing. I mean, who knew that Blessed Solanus Casey was listening in to me?
Yes. You know?
Who knew?
Yeah.
I mean, and he was. He was. I don't know. Maybe he gets a little bell ringing in his ear when somebody's reading about him, you know?
Well, and you
think to say
that whole journey, that author had to step out in bravery and confidence and write about him and put herself out there. You know, now the process of becoming a writer and an author and a published author, there's a whole process to that and a whole vulnerability and rejection and editing and all of the things. So the fact that it started with her and got all the way to you, and Blessed Solanus Casey has just been probably hoping more than anything that that book gets into the hands of the right people. You know? Oh.
Yes. That is. I mean, that gives me the chills even just thinking of that pathway.
Yeah. The dominoes that have to happen for us to hear the message and wake up.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And all the places that we have to be at the right place and the right time.
Oh my goodness.
And how patient he is with us. In all those times that we turned a different way, or we didn't buy the book, or we didn't listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, and we went a different direction. And he's so patiently waiting. He's so patient with us. You know, he's like, if you only knew, I want to help, you know?
And if there's something I can do or say, or if someone hears my story or reads my story or takes a look at my postings on Instagram, reads one of my blogs on my website, and they're moved in the same way I was reading Patricia Teresa's book, and they're healed and redeemed and saved, or on their way to being, or they, I don't know, that's all I want. That's all I want, even if it's one person, even if it's one of my many nieces or nephews who reads it. It's all I want is to help somebody else. I would love to help everybody else to not have to go through what I went through.
Yeah.
We all have our own journey. And if I could help somebody along on their journey, that's what I want to do.
And I love what you shared about there was something so special about his intercession and God's strength. I think there's something in our society right now that is very much, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. If you do this 30-day program, you're going to have the strength to get past it, and a switch is going to come on. But it's like, you know what? That verse, by his strength, by his stripes, we are healed. And then I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Yes.
It's his strength. It's not ours. It is his strength. And the minute we recognize it, that it's not our own strength, it's not our bootstraps, it's not our 30-day program, it's not the things that we do, it's his grace, it's his strength that is going to push us to the other side of healing. Thank you for sharing that.
It truly is. And we're misled by the secular world that we can do it all on our own. We can have whatever we want.
Mm-hmm.
We can be whoever we want to be.
Mm-hmm.
No. Yeah. 64 years old, and I'm telling you, no, you can't. You need God. You need the Holy Spirit. You need Jesus Christ. You need the saints, the angels, Mother Mary. You need them.
You do. You do. Yes. And when you need them, and then when they're there, it is the most beautiful, comforting, peaceful thing that you've ever known. It's not some list of rules or some... Yeah, it's so freeing and beautiful.
Freeing, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, so many people say, well, I'm not going to follow those rules. I can't possibly follow the Ten Commandments, let alone all the rules that the Catholic Church throws right at you. Oh, my goodness gracious. Those rules are what free you to be who you were meant to be and to be the very best that you can be, that you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
Stop fighting it.
Yep. Yep. It's almost a relief to have those rules. I think about, you know, all the books that tell you, you know, how to raise children and the things to do. And they tell you over and over again, children need boundaries. They need to know not to run in the street, and they need to know why, and they need to know when to go to bed, and they need to know why you're training them. And it's a relief for their little bodies to be told, hey, this is what we need to do so that you're healthy. This is when we're going to go to bed. This is what we're going to eat. We're not going to eat a ton of sugar. We're going to eat your fruits. We're going to eat your vegetables. We're going to eat your protein. And I feel like it's the same with adults and with the Lord. He gives us these rules because he knows that when you follow these rules, when you act in love, when you don't hold grudges, when you don't keep a list of wrongs, when you don't envy, when you don't do those things, there's a freedom in that because you're not carrying all those burdens that go with those sins. There is so much freedom and joy and peace in the life that you can have in Him. I wish people could, I hope people can see that there is freedom and beauty just waiting for them.
I agree.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about how you found out to write to the Cause for Canonization, because that, I don't know that process. That's amazing.
Oh, okay. So in my research on Blessed Silanus Casey, like I said, I knew nothing about him. And so I was reading as much as I could on him. And there are a couple different websites. One of them is the Silanus Casey, silanuscasey.org, I think it is what it's called. And the other one is the Silanus Casey Guild. So I went on both of them and I read all the stories and I'm like, I have to tell them. And so there are reporting, there's a section says reporting a favor, how to report a favor. And it's a long form and it asks for medical information. And I thought, well, I don't have any medical information, but I still have to let them know.
Yes.
so they want you to tell them, because they're looking for that second miracle that can be verified by the church. And so they really do want a miracle and they want you to tell them. So anyway, they give the name of the vice postulator for the cause for canonization. It's a lot of mouthful. And so they give you his email address. And so when my year was up, I wrote the story out and emailed it to him. And like I said, he got back to me right away. Yes. And said, again, like it was not a miracle according to the church, but they would forward my story on to Rome to let them know that Silanus is still busy helping us all out, helping us out here, healing us and being our friend. And like you said, opening the doors for us when we call out to him. Mm-hmm. And I mean, he died in 1957, and to think that I wasn't even born when he died. I mean, some of the saints have been dead since the year, I guess 30, St. Stephen was killed, you know, I mean, but they're there. Come on. Let's all call on them.
Yes. They're so ready just to be our friend and tell us about who they see face to face.
Yes. Yes. Oh my goodness. So anyway, and then, when I, started, with Praise Writers and I knew I was going to be publishing my story, which I will be doing in this summer, with National Catholic Register, I contacted them again and I told them that I was telling my story and they said that was wonderful. And would I just please let them have a copy of my story before it comes out? So anyway, they've been wonderful. And I wish that I could get Silanus over the over the hurdle there and make him a saint, because in my mind he is a saint and in your mind he is a saint. And mm-hmm. and so many other people, Instagram is a wonderful place if you know who to follow. And I have come across quite a number of people who know of Silanus and have been to Detroit, and I have not been to his burial site and St. Bonaventure monastery, I think is what it is. And I have not been there, but I will make it. And I think maybe I have a trip planned to Akron, Ohio in the fall. And I think I'll drive from there on up and see.
Yes.
And tell him face to face.
Absolutely. And tell him.
Or crypt to face anyway. Yeah.
Yes. I have a dear friend from college who, when she announced the coming up birth of her son, she shared that his name was going to be Silanus. And I thought, I was like, I don't know I've never heard that name before. And so she was telling the stories of him and his intercession throughout her story and her pregnancy. And it was just, I couldn't help but just fall in love with him. It was like, okay, here's another saint that I've never heard of, that here we go, you know, standing there at the ready, like, bring it to me. I'm right here. I'll take it to the big guy. You know, I just,
being instrumental in healing women who were trying to have children, trying to get pregnant is another area that he specializes in. And I know your story.
Yes.
My niece had a little boy and then suffered, I think, 7 miscarriages trying to conceive her second. And so I sent her one of Blessed Solange Casey's relics. And sure enough, she had a little girl.
Oh my.
Yeah. I mean, he's still very active.
Amazing.
He's wonderful.
Well, thank you. Blessed Solange Casey.
Blessed Solange Casey.
We love you.
Someday we hope to call you Saint Solange
Casey.
Yes,
we will all rejoice. We will all rejoice.
His birth name was Bernard, and they called him Barney.
Oh my goodness.
Barney Casey, he was 6th of 16 children, Irish Catholic. So I'm one of 9 Irish Catholics.
Oh my goodness. I think one of my favorite things about his intercession is the thought that he would welcome people at the door and then send them to the confessor, you know, after hearing their story. And I feel like he was made for this. He was made to be this intercessor where he hears our stories and takes it to God and is like, okay, I've got one for you. This one needs this, you know? And I just, he was made for
this. And he, as much as he wanted to be a full-fledged priest, his humility was so strong that he allowed himself to be only, and I say only, a simplex priest, which meant, you know, he couldn't hear confessions or give absolution, or he couldn't give homilies. And one of the reasons for that was because he was in a German-speaking community, and his German wasn't perfect. Yeah. And so they felt that perhaps because he wasn't quite fluent in German, it wasn't fair, I guess, to his parishioners. But what he gave them instead, was so wonderful. Is what makes him a saint. We'll make him a saint one day. Yeah.
There is nothing better than when you are going somewhere, especially if you're going somewhere and you're a little nervous, like confession, to be welcomed at the door by somebody warm that wants to know your story. There's nothing better than that. Uh-huh. And to know that he's still doing that.
Yes.
He is welcoming you. He wants to know your story, and he's ready to ask for intercession or to intercede on your behalf. I love that.
And I hope that when the day comes for me to go to heaven, that he'll be waiting at that gate for me. And
yes, he'll be welcoming you at the door.
He'll be welcoming me at the door. Exactly.
God willing. He'll be right there saying, come on in. I recognize
you. Come
on in. Yep.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Well, Carolyn, thank you so much. Let us know when your article comes out with National Catholic Register, and I will link it for everybody. That way we can
read it
and celebrate you. And then, hey, when he becomes a saint, we're going to have a special episode that.
Yes, yes.
Feast day celebration.
Celebrate for sure. Absolutely. Thank you, Kate, for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us for Tripping Over the Saints. I hope you enjoyed meeting our new friend, and I cannot wait to introduce you to more new friends. If you would like to become a patron of this podcast, we would love for you to join in at Patreon. The donations you make go directly to cover the hosting, technical support, and donations we make to our speakers and podcasters and missionaries that come on the show to introduce us to someone new. Have a great day, and I cannot wait to talk to you again.